we start, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Queen of the Family,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. There are two parts to our classwork. Class number one is on feminism. Class number two is on the document of the Holy Father comparing the Catholic priesthood with the laity. Our first class, therefore, is on the emancipation of women. And the lecture is based on Lenin's document called On the Emancipation of Women. It's a full volume from which I have chosen just one lecture of Lenin. The lecture that I've chosen is a speech that he gave to the All Russian Congress Working Women, date November 19, 1918. I will read a sentence or two and make comments as we go along. First, as a background, we call communism dialectic materialism, the standard definition of communism, dialectical materialism. One of the communists being, by calling themselves, materialists. In the communist philosophy, the only basic reality is matter. What is matter? Matter is that which can be perceived by the senses. Matter is that which can be measured. Matter that which has size and shape and weight. The best definition of matter is to say matter is not perceivable by the mind. Matter perceivable by the senses. To illustrate how deeply materialistic is the English language, when something is not important, we say it is immaterial. Or if something is useless and meaningless, we call it what? Nonsense. It would be impossible for me to describe how deeply materialistic the English world has become, the English speaking world. I think I told you in our last class, the most powerful Marxist nation in the world is the United States. No question whatever. Once you believe that the only reality is material, then you necessarily exclude spirit. I think I told you the last time we met. I began reading Karl Marx at the age of 14. In graduate course, I'd be very happy to give them to you. Marxism. Marxism believes the fundamental reality is matter. We call spirit. In Marxism, spirit is a product of matter. We realize is just the opposite, the very opposite of Christianity. In Christianity, what came first? What else except spirit What kind of spirit? The infinite spirit of God. Everything which exists, to be Christian, believe, whether it's material or spiritual, originated with spirit. Namely God, with the uncreated pure spirit, comes is just the opposite. Coming believes the fundamental reality is matter. Over the years, I have used and read the textbook used at the University of Moscow. I have a full set of textbook used in Moscow. Page after page, volume after volume, they elaborate on a matter was the first reality. What is spiritual came from matter. We defined Marxism, which is the foundation of communism. We defined Marxism, dialectical materialism. First one is materialism. He believes all reality is either material or owes its origin to matter. What is matter? That, I repeat, which is size, shape, weight, that which can be measured. In contrast, what is spirit? To be that reality which does not have size, shape, weight, or quantity. Over the years in teaching philosophy to all my students, the best definition of matter is that which is quantified. Matter can be measured. Spirit, by definition, cannot be measured. We believe, unlike the Marxists, we believe fundamental reality is spirit. So true is this, we believe that the pure spirit, the uncreated spirit of God, not only came first, but existed from all eternity. We believe, unless there was a spirit world, namely the divine spirit of God, nothing else would exist. Now, what do the communists mean when they define Marxism as dialectical materialism? Dialectics means conflict. In Marxism, there is no progress without conflict. Either there is conflict or there is no progress in society. As you know, Marx began by promoting coffee between the rich and the poor. You need capital and labor. He is still part of authentic Marxism. However, Marx's great dream was to promote the most basic conflict in the human race. The conflict between women and men. What we casually call feminism. All feminism is at root Marxism. At root, there's not a single sentence in Marxism which is not found in Karl Marx. Karl Marx, or Lenin, or Engels, the three geniuses behind communism. Karl Marx, Engels, and Lenin what was Marx's great dream? Marx's dream was to foment, foster conflict between women and men in that order. And the most important book on feminism was written by Engels. It's a 600-page book on the family. According to Engels, therefore Marxism, family began when men decided to dominate women. And they succeeded phenomenally. Every family, therefore, according to Marx, has a man who is in charge. Women are to be enslaved. The dream of Marx, his disciple Engels, was to emancipate women. That's why I'll have a quote we'll read from the speech of Lenin, the emancipation of women. No words of mine can begin to describe the depth of this revolution. It has penetrated every country of the world. And of course, one thing that Marx foresaw was the emancipation of women. They would be freed from domination by men. The whole book is a book. Emancipation of Women has about 30 lectures by Lenin. So I just choose one. One given November 18th, 1918. Let me read and comment as we go along. Comrades, in a certain sense, this Congress, women's section of the Workers' Army, has special significance. One of the hardest things in every country is to stir the women into action. In no socialist revolution, there's very many working women take a big part in it. I think I should quote Carter Sunes. Carter Sunes, as you know, was a Cardinal Archbishop in Belgium. Participated in the Second Vatican Council. Carter Sunes was, I think I can say this, a professed Marxist. Sunes wrote extensively promoting Communist Revolution, Women Against Men. Says the Cardinal, no revolution has ever succeeded without women. No wonder, I'm quoting Lenin, women are called domestic slaves. With the status of women in all civilized countries, most advanced, we would not enjoy full equality in any capitalist state, not even in the freest of republics. For Marx, repeat his disciples, Lenin and Engels, capitalism has enslaved women. Lenin goes on, well, the first tax, Soviet Republic, to abolish all restrictions on women's rights. Soviet government has completely abolished divorce proceedings. That source has completely abolished source proceedings. That source, bourgeois degradation, repression, and mediation. Who controls divorce? Communist countries, the state. Who gets the divorce? men divorcing women. Women divorcing men. In the United States, over 50% of American marriages end in divorce. And most of the divorces in the United States are started, promoted by women. It will soon be a year now since complete freedom of divorce was legislated. We have passed a decree annulling all dispute between legitimate and illegitimate children. Is that neat? Removing several political restrictions. Nowhere else in the world have equality and freedom for working women been so fully established. Dream of Marx, I repeat, was to give women domination over men. We know is a working class woman who has to bear the full brunt of antiquated codes. Says Lenin, for the first time in history, our law has removed everything that denied women's rights. Was women's rights? Woman's right is what a woman wants to do. That's what Marxism defines right. A right, R-I-G-H-T, is what a human being wants to do. A woman's rights. What a woman wants to do, what she wants, that is a right. But the important thing is not the law. In the cities and industrial areas, this law on complete freedom of marriage is done all right. But the countryside all too frequently remains a dead letter. The bottom line in Marxism, the bottom line is freedom is doing what I want. In this case, delivering women from the domination by men. The other religious marriage still predominates. I've told you this on some occasion in South America, lecturing in Peru. Mission of Charity told me, as part of the class proceedings, that in South America, they do not know of a single country that recognizes a church marriage as valid. Do you hear me? Either a couple calls to get married by the state, or they're not considered validly married. In other words, the atheism of communism or Marxism is very deep. The bottom line is denying the church any rights, especially in deciding who can marry, on what conditions. This, says Lenin, due to the influence of the priests, and even that it's harder to combat than the old legislation. That is why I've said before, I don't have a visa yet. Almost 3 weeks to try to get a visa for India. Or don't get one, because Marxism has predominated in the politics of India. In 3 weeks I was in India last year, three priests were murdered in 3 weeks. Then he continues, we must be extremely careful in fighting religious prejudices. Some people cause a lot of harm in this struggle with offending religious feelings. We must use propaganda and education by lending too sharp an edge to the struggle. We may only arouse popular resentment. Such methods of struggle tend to perpetuate the division of the people along religious lines, whereas our strength lies in equality. For Marx, the most devising factor in human society is faith in God. And he goes on. The deepest source of religious prejudice is poverty and ignorance, and the evil we have to combat. As we know, for Marxism, see, there is no God. There is no life after death. Matter is superior to spirit. That spirit is a product of matter. Once you believe that, then the only progress in Marxism is what else? Material progress. All growth in society, all progress in a nation, determined by how wealthy, how prosperous that nation becomes. I repeat, United States, most powerful Marxist nation in the world. You may have read in newspapers, could be in my eyes, front page coverage, Tom Monahan. Do you see the papers? You know Tom Monahan? He is selling, he has more than $1 billion. Now most pieces. Do you know how that got started? 7 years ago, Tom Monahan made a mistake making a 30-day retreat. I never read anything about Tom Monahan. Never met him. Call me up. Can I make a 30-day retreat? He made a 30-day retreat. Before the retreat was over, how much he was worth. He wasn't boasting, just stating a fact. Worth $1.25 billion. Tom, you never get to heaven with all that money. I'm leaving for Rome, Lord willing, this evening, 7:05. Most memorable meetings at the Vatican. Tom Monahan, myself, Conor Ratzinger, Conor Ratzinger's secretary. I don't believe the caddy in the Gavi Church would be in pen today if the millions of dollars Tom Monahan contributed. It is just the opposite. The deepest source of religious prejudice is poverty and ignorance. Poverty, of course, then means poverty in material things. Ignorance means ignorance of Marxism. Then he continues, seeing a woman up to now has been compared to that of a slave. Women have been tied to the home. Only so she can save them from this. Do you hear me? You mothers. Mothers of families. You know you were a slave? Do you know that? Simon Pure on the ultimate of Marxism. For several years, I subscribed to the Moscow weekly paper. Week after week, featured women working, liberated from their enslavement of the home. Think I should say this, having declared the United States most powerful Marxist nation in the world. Most of the power in the United States is now held by women. Politics are controlled by women in America. We'll see later on. And the Catholic Church is deeply suffering under that call of plague. David Lenin. They will only be completely emancipated when we can give up the small peasant farms to proceed to cooperative farming, use collective methods to work the land. That is a difficult task, but now that poor peasant committees are being formed, time has come when the socialist revolution is being consolidated. I should share this with you. Part of the history of Russian Marxism, over 10 million farmers were starved to death under Stalin. They refused to cooperate with Stalin. Stalin took over. The lowest figure is 10 million farmers in Russia starved to death. We go on. The poorest part of the rural population is only now beginning to organize, but socialism is requiring a firm foundation in the organization of poor peasants. In the United States, can I ask, how many people are doing any farming? Great. And what's happening in our country? Who controls agriculture in our nation?
Government.
The government. Before, all the town became revolutionary, then the countryside. For the present revolution, the alliance on the countryside. Notice what Lenin is saying. We must penetrate the farmers, must penetrate the cause of the countryside. But the present revolution relies on the countryside, lying in significance and strength. The experience of all the liberation movements has shown that the success of the revolution depends how much the women take part in it. They're taking a very strong and large part in the revolution in our country. I think I've quoted the Holy Father. He considers Pope John Paul II the deepest, most dangerous revolution in the Catholic Church today is feminism. Do you hear me? The Soviet government is doing everything in its power for women to carry on independent proletarian socialist work. What has happened? Millions of women have been sold Marxism in our nation. You have the ordination of women, ordination of women to the priesthood. What else? Except Marxism. So the government in a difficult position because the imperialists of all countries hate Soviet Russia, prepared to go to war with her for carrying the fire of revolution. A number of countries that were taking determined steps towards socialism. And to clearly understand what socialism is in Marxist vocabulary. Socialism is a control of a people by what they call the society, where that society is dominated, needs to say, by Marxism. And who remembers what passage of the United States recognized the freedom of Soviet Russia, a result of which Russia became a dominant nation in the world. Remembers? My hearing is poor. FDR. Roosevelt. And revolution not only went on when Russian communism was established. It's going on now when American Soviet revolution is progressing phenomenally. Now they are how to destroy revolutionary Russia. The ground is beginning to burn under their own feet. You know how the revolutionary movement is spreading in Germany, in Denmark. The workers are fighting their movement by the government. Holland and Switzerland, the revolutionary movement is getting stronger. Revolutionary movement in these small countries has no importance in itself. It is particularly significant because there was no war in these countries. They have the most constitutional democratic system. If countries like these are stirring into action, makes us sure revolutionary movement is taking hold all over the world. Let's be clear what enemies of revolution. Revolution, that it means revolt against the established government, which, as we believe, is mainly a good government when it is authentically, not just as the name goes in our country, authentic democratic, where the people decide who are to rule them. The revolution never began. Where did the communist revolution begin? Who remembers? What country? What nation did Karl Marx belong to? Germany. German. It's well to know Karl Marx's family became Lutherans, having Jewish. He became nominally Christian. That is to say, neither Karl Marx or his family became authentically Christian. Marx, therefore, began the revolution in Germany. However, got his ideas for fomenting the revolution from whom? Remember again, what country? Karl Marx learned was a revolution. What came first? The French Revolution or the Marxist Revolution?
French.
Marx went to Paris, learned about what revolution really means. We got it, you know, by the French. Then, having learned the methodology of revolution, third country, where Marx go to learn how to organize a revolution? England. Marx began here it in Germany. Got his ideas from France, but his basic principles from the English. Then, having developed the Marxist ideas, and written the Communist Manifesto. Who wrote the Communist Manifesto? Who remembers? Marx, Lenin, and Engels. In the Communist Manifesto, as good as language can make it, the revolution must, and this is basic to Marxism, must wipe out the family. The family has been understood in society for centuries. No problems in any society, I'll repeat what I've said before, without conflict. And the deepest conflicts in Marx's mind was the conflict between women rebelling against men, freeing themselves from the shackles posed by men through the family. Then, the actual beginning of Marxism as political entity began in what country? In Russia. It's well to know behind the Russian Revolution was Marxism. I know we've read enough about Russian communism, know what a failure it was. However, hear it, and we'll be on the Russian Commission. The communists are controlling Russia. Whatever else we should believe, don't you for a moment think that communism has died out. That's really the last paragraph. No other republic has so far been able to emancipate women. Knowing what emancipation in Marxism means, emancipation means liberate women, emancipate them from domination by men. When I first coined a lie, not a bad lie, that was created by men, dominated women. Emancipation of women, therefore, liberating them from domination by men. Soviet government is helping her. Our cause is invincible. because the invisible working class is rising in all countries. I'm talking the white city. One of the most powerful city in the country, organization of labor unions. What city?
Detroit.
I know Marxism very well. That is why strange statements. When at the Second Vatican Council, we call them dissident Catholics, want to organize evolution, where they start? In Detroit. When I came to Detroit 9 years ago, I made my eyes. The people in Detroit know what's going on in their city? Most of them don't know. Detroit is the center of the revolution in the Catholic Church. What happened? Who remembers what year the Second Vatican Council closed?
65.
In 1966, after Vatican II closed, meeting of bishops in Detroit. Who was the Cardinal Archbishop of Detroit in 1966? I tell you the meeting that I have with Cardinal Dearden. When we have nuns, some 60 sisters, the Archdiocese of Detroit, decided to become emancipated from their community. Join the Archdiocese of Detroit. Repeat, 60 of them. In what the Archdiocese of Detroit wanted them to do, tell their superiors to jump in Lake Michigan. The superiors in Rome complained to the Holy See. Then Hardy got a letter. Father Hardy got a letter. Oh, you meet a character by the name of Father Hardin. Call him up. I called him up. We'll have to meet privately. Father Dearden and I met on a Saturday morning. Well, I told you this, didn't I? We have to meet. It's a very private meeting, he said. I was in Chicago then. Came to Detroit. He was scheduled, I think, by 9 o'clock in the morning, Saturday. And they were not working. Climbed 6 flights of stairs. I pressed the doorbell, the bell of the coroner's office. A priest came to the door. I thought Cardinal and I were meeting privately. But he told me, Cardinal needs more support. We sat down for the meeting. In only judgment on one side, boardroom table. The other side is eminence. See, in the center, left a woman. His right, this priest. Cardinal lead us in prayer. He said a prayer. Then he tried to be humorous. Eminence, who is in charge here? I was joking. He didn't even smile. It was left for the woman. She is. Can I tell you this? And I read off one after the other of the 11 points that the Holy See wanted the car to agree to. And one, you agree. Carla, what was your name again? What was your name, Carla's name?
Yes.
Good, okay. I give you number one. I do agree. She said, I agree. The priest next to him, another voice said, don't be a coward. You're in charge of the two archdiocese, not the Pope. I smiled. Yes. Carl Dearden, about number two. Read it. Do you agree? I agree. 11 times, this priest shouted the cardinal, don't be a coward. Don't be ill. You're in charge of the two archdiocese. As a result, 40 of the 60 nuns were dismissed from the order. Formed their own community. Guess what the name is? Servant of Jesus, S.J.'s. And we know who the chancellor of the Archdiocese of Detroit is. An S.J. nun. Am I still making sense?